Book 14. Chapter 3. How Aristobulus and Hyrcanus came to Pompey in order to argue who ought to have the kingdom, and how upon the plight of Aristobulus to the fortress Alexandrium, Pompey led his army against him and ordered him to deliver up the fortresses whereof he was possessed. A little afterwards Pompey came to Damascus and marched over to Celesyria, at which time there came ambassadors to him from all Syria and Egypt and out of Judea also, for Aristobulus had sent him a great present, which was a golden vine of the value of 500 talents. Now Strabo of Cappadocia mentions this present in these words: "There came also an embassage out of Egypt, and a crown of the value of 4,000 pieces of gold. And out of Judea there came another, whether you call it a vine or a garden. They call the thing Terpole, the delight. However, we ourselves saw that the present reposited at Rome, in the temple of Jupiter Capitolinus, with this inscription, 'The gift of Alexander, the king of the Jews.' It was valued at 500 talents, and the report is that Aristobulus, the governor of the Jews, sent it." In a little time afterwards came ambassadors again to him, Antipater from Hyrcanus, and Nicodemus from Aristobulus, which last also accused such as had taken bribes, first Gabinius and then Scarius, the one 300 talents and the other 400, by which procedure he made these two his enemies, besides those he had before. And when Pompey had ordered those that had controversies with one another to come to him in the beginning of the spring, he brought his army out of their winter quarters, and marched into the country of Damascus. And as he went along, he demolished the citadel that was at Apamea, which Anticus Cyzicensus had built, and took cognizance of the country of Ptolemy Menenius, a wicked man, and not less so than Dionysius of Tripoli, who had been beheaded, who was also his relation by marriage. Yet did he buy off the punishment of his crimes for 1,000 talents, with which money Pompey paid the soldiers their wages. He also conquered the place called Lysus, of which Silas a Jew was tyrant. And when he had passed over the cities of Heliopolis and Chalcis, and got over the mountain which is on the limit of Coelesyria, he came from Pella to Damascus, and there it was that he heard the causes of the Jews, and of their governors Hyrcanus and Aristobulus, who were at difference with one another, as also of the nation against them both, which did not desire to be under kingly government, because the form of government they received from their forefathers was that of subjection to the priests of that God whom they worshipped. And they complained that though these two were the posterity of priests, yet they did seek to change the government of their nation to another form in order to enslave them. Hyrcanus complained that although he were the elder brother, he was deprived of the prerogative of his birth by Aristobulus, and that he had but a small part of the country under him, Aristobulus having taken away the rest from him by force. He also accused him that the incursions which had been made into their neighbors' countries, and the piracies that had been at sea, were owing to him, and that the nation would not have revolted unless Aristobulus had been a man given to violence and disorder. And there were no fewer than 1,000 Jews of the best esteem among them who confirmed this accusation, which confirmation was procured by Antipater. But Aristobulus alleged against him that it was Hyrcanus's own temper, which was inactive, and on that account contemptible, which caused him to be deprived of the government, and that for himself he was necessitated to take it upon him, for fear lest it should be transferred to others, and that as to his title of king, it was no other than what his father had taken before him. He also called for witnesses of what he said some persons who were both young and insolent, whose purple garments, fine heads of hair, and other ornaments were detested by the court, and which they appeared in not as though they were to plead their cause in a court of justice, but as if they were marching in a pompous procession. When Pompey had heard the causes of these two, and had condemned Aristobulus for his violent procedure, he then spake civilly to them, and sent them away, and told them that when he came again into their country he would settle all their affairs, after he had first taken a view of the affairs of the Nabateans. In the meantime he ordered them to be quiet, and treated Aristobulus civilly, lest he should make the nation revolt and hinder his return, which yet Aristobulus did, for without expecting any further determination which Pompey had promised them, he went to the city Delius, and thence marched into Judea. At this behavior, Pompey was angry, and taking with him that army which he was leading against the Nabateans, and the auxiliaries that came from Damascus, and the other parts of Syria, with the other Roman legions which he had with him, he made an expedition against Aristobulus. But as he passed by Pella and Scythopolis, he came to Corim, which is the first entrance into Judea when one passes over the midland countries, where he came to a most beautiful fortress that was built on top of a mountain called Alexandrium, whither Aristobulus had fled. And thence Pompey sent his commands to him, that he should come to him. Accordingly, at the persuasions of many that he would not make war with the Romans, he came down. And when he had disputed with his brother about the right to the government, he went up again to the citadel, as Pompey gave him leave to do. And he did this two or three times, as flattering himself with the hopes of having the kingdom granted him, so that he still pretended he would obey Pompey in whatsoever he commanded, although at the same time he retired to his fortress, that he might not depress himself too low, and that he might be prepared for war in case it should prove, as he feared, that Pompey would transfer the government to Hyrcanus. But when Pompey enjoined Aristobulus to deliver up the fortresses he held, and to send an injunction to their governors under his own hand for that purpose, for they had been forbidden to deliver them up upon any other commands, he submitted indeed to do so, but still he retired in displeasure to Jerusalem, and made preparation for war. A little after this, certain persons came out of Pontus, and informed Pompey, as he was on the way, in conducting his army against Aristobulus, that Mithridates was dead, and was slain by his son Pharmaces.